What were you working on? What were you working on? The Yerichon Menuri and the Chamim?
Yeah.
Mayim. Okay. So let's take the egos on the Mayim. How's that? Let's take the difference between an egos on Mayim and Mayim and Mayim. Simple. Right? Mm-hmm. Why is it that an egos on Mayim is not Noch and Mayim on Mayim is Noch? Were you thinking about the wave thing? Were you imagining that in your mind?
No, I
don't know if I've seen one.
You've never seen
one? I've never seen one.
It opens up the whole thing. It opens up the whole thing.
I thought about that.
You thought about it, right?
And then I got sidetracked.
But then you started daydreaming about the serpent.
That's what we need on the side of the Gemara. We need like a billion of shots to bring down a little picture.
Like a sucker there.
Yeah.
So it's egos
on Mayim and Mayim. So the question is Chibor, right? I mean, the way Rashi is saying and the way the Gemara is mashed is a question of Chibor. So what's the difference between egos on Mayim and Mayim and Mayim in terms of Chibor?
One entity, two entities.
Mime's not really on Mime.
Yeah, Mime's not Mime's on Mime.
On the ground.
It's really one thing.
Once you have a chibur.
Well, I mean, if I have Mime in a guma and I put more Mime in it, there's Mime on Mime. I mean, we're...
But it's all mixed up.
One entity.
Okay.
You can refer to the addition as...
So in other words, let's take the egos on the Mime, okay? See, the Mime and the Mime is already causing difficulty. Let's take the egos on the Mime. So what does chibur mean? Chibur means you have... What does chibur mean? What's chibur?
Considered one entity.
Chibur is you have two things, right, that are joined together. So why is the egos and the mayim not joined together? You have two things. Why are they not joined together?
One solid and one's liquid.
One is solid and one is liquid. That's a fact. That's a fact. What's that?
Why would they be joined together? Most
Why
things,
would they?
Most things are not joined together.
Egos doesn't belong to water.
I mean, it seems like just the way that they interact because of the nature of water. Like, the water forces it to be like a separate thing. It doesn't. It prevents it from becoming like a ma'uro. It really looks the same.
Right.
It forces it to
What's
the
that?
No diffusion.
Buoyant force.
No diffusion.
Like, if you poured water into water,
right,
all the water is just going to spread apart, where it's just going to be... Like, if you put a dye in the water.
Right.
The dye is going to evenly distribute itself. And it's all going to be together. When you put an egos there, you still have two defined entities.
But a dye in... be so... What's that?
Dye is so separate in the water. It's its own thing.
That's Brownian motion, right?
Brownie?
Brownie in motion.
Oh. A brownie in motion. Whatever, one check.
Brownie in motion.
Yeah. What? That's why the dye diffuses.
Diffusing.
I mean, that's a entropy, right. Maybe entropy.
Chaos.
Entropy. It was the Mayim and Mayim is not entropy. as a dye. A dye is different. Because the dye is two different things. They have a higher concentration and lower concentration.
No, but it's
you don't have that with Mayim and Mayim.
They're saying at the end of the day.
There's no higher concentration and lower concentration.
That's why. But that's because there's a higher concentration. All those atoms are... All those molecules are bumping into each other until they diffuse. But Mayim and Mayim doesn't have that. But that doesn't really matter. But, right?
Yeah.
In other words, maybe it's just so obvious that nobody can think about it. I mean, the nut on top of the Mayim, the egos on the Mayim, so what happens? The Mayim is displaced by the egos, right? You put a nut on the water, so it's going to displace some of the water, and the rest of the water sort of makes room for the egos, right? But that's a one-way street, right? The Mayim, you could say, yields to the egos, right? But the egos never yield to the Mayim. It just doesn't happen. right?
It's not a wave.
It doesn't yield to it. It's just following the mayim. It's not changing itself because of the mayim. You know, the mayim will form around the egos, but the egos doesn't change its form because of the mayim. Of course, its position is going to be different wherever the mayim is. Its position is always on the mayim. If the mayim is higher, it's higher. If the mayim is lower, it's lower. But they don't relate to each other in the same way, right? The mayim will change its own shape because of the egos, but the egos never changes its shape because of the mayim, right? One is a liquid and one is a solid. That's just the nature of the entities. So that can't be a chibur. There's no chibur like that. There's no joining. It's totally unilateral, right?
We just think about that. The two liquids, like they do interact with each other.
Two liquids completely interact with each other.
Like an equally opposite way, like they both.
Exactly.
Wherever this water displaces its form.
Exactly. Exactly. Right? I don't really want to get into them, but in other words, but if you would imagine a cross section of Shemen on Mayim, right, then they would take on a new shape together. You know what I mean? The Shemen will each form around each other. It's a different type of a union. Right? For instance, if a wave of Mayim would come up, I can't be sure about this, but it would seem the Shemen would thin out at that point, and, right?
Plus, you've seen your wave tube.
That's the wave tube. Nobody takes me seriously about these things. But, but just basically, that seems to be the main chiluk, right, between a solid on a liquid and a liquid on a liquid. Whether they will form, whether they each equally yield to each other in a bilateral way, right? Neither mayim, you can say, this is the mayim that all the other mayim has to form around. But the egos always remains, its structure. Its structural integrity is intact, and it's the mayim that yields. So that's definitely, they don't have a symbiotic relationship. One is the object, and the other one is the place. It's a clear relationship of an object and a place. The only thing is, the place is an unstable place. But since the mayim always has to make place for the egos and never the other way around, right, we can identify clearly one as the object and one as the place. But with the mayim and the mayim, you can't do that. You can't say this is the object and this is the place. They relate to each other equally.
And therefore they become one thing?
I'm not saying that yet. Yeah.
What makes it the place? The fact that it's giving way to it? So what about like solid on solid? Why is that? Well, there's no giving way there. Why is one the place?
Okay, that's a good question.
The way you're saying it's more like the fact that the echoes doesn't give way makes it an object, and now you can begin to talk about place. But the fact that it doesn't give way doesn't necessarily make this place, right?
Right. What I'm saying is that because the egos is solid and the liquid is not,
you can isolate it.
They don't have the relationship of, like David is saying, of joining together. So now you have to talk about one as a... Now you have to look at them as two separate objects. So once you have two separate objects, you can always have an object and a place. You're right. Just like, but the only thing is, I'm saying that this place is an unstable place.
Don't we want to have...
What?
Don't we want to have an object in a place?
It has to be in a good place. Has to be in a good place. Has to be in a good place. It, just because it has
nothing
to be a place.
Akira, you need an object in a place.
Yeah, but it has to be in its place. That's the difference. It has to be in its place. Right? So, if you say that you don't put things in Mayim, doesn't mean Mayim does not relate to the object as a place, but it's not its place. And an Akira has to be from its place. Right? That's what Tosis tries to explain a little more. But it would seem that that's the question of, you know, is by the egos and the mayim that nobody has a question about. That it's definitely, since they don't relate to each other in the same way, they retain their identities as an egos and the mayim. And for the purposes of Hotzah, the egos is the object and the mayim will be the place, because that's the one you're taking out. But if you have mayim on mayim and you remove a scoop of the mayim, right, how do you view that? Do you say that the mayim I took out, I took off of the mayim that it was on, right? So that's what Rav is answering, saying since they relate to each other in the same way, right, then you can never make that chilek. Never make that chilek. That chilek doesn't exist. And it's all considered one entity, munach on the karka. And even though I take off part of it, it has, since it's one entity, it has the din of the, all of it has the din of munach on the karka. So it turns out that when I took this scoop of mayim, I really took it from the karka. But that apparently is the question, because the taking of it is really separating it. So do you say that makes it like another entity now?
That's where you have to look at where you're taking it from. That's why it will always end up coming back to this chilek.
Right. But the question with the shemen is, it seems to be a further breakdown of the idea of what makes mayim, agabi mayim, one entity. Right.
Well, can you say the distinction between the nut and the water again, please?
Yes, so the nut and the water is a clear distinction, because they relate to each other in a different way. One is one always maintains its form, and the other one gives way to the other one changes to receive the form. Right? So there's no chibur. They don't relate to each other. In order for there to be a chibur, you have to have two similar things relating to each other in the same way. Right? But here, they relate to each other completely differently. The egos is the same wherever it is, and the mayim is different because of the egos, just in the simplest sense. So you can't say that there's any joining in terms of the egos. It's like it's anywhere else. It's not different because it's here in the mayim, right? It's just less. It's just more. It's just bobbing around. But the mayim is changed because of the ego. So I mean, just even without a good definition, it's clear that the egos and the mayim don't relate to each other in the same way. So there's no chibur. There's certainly no chibur, right? And then if there's no chibur, now you have an object on another object. And then the question is this its place? So we say no. So you don't put things on mayim. Mayim is not somewhere that that objects are stored. So therefore, it's not going to have a shame of being munach, because it's still lacking. It's still lacking its placement. Yeah.
I just don't get the relevance of the displacement.
Okay. So that's why if we move to the shemen and the yayin, now you have a question. Because they do each yield to each other. Right? They do react one to the other.
Yet they remain separate.
That's the question. In other words, what makes the chibur? What creates the chibur between the two objects? Right? Is it the way they function? Right? That they act as one object? In other words, if I had the yayin and the shemen together, then it would behave just like they each would take on the behavior of the other. You understand? They would react in the same way. They would react together. Whereas the nut and the water don't. Their very form, the shemen and the yayin, in terms of the form, they take on one tzura. They together take on one greater tzura that really mimics each other. It's like it's all wine. It would be like it's all wine or like it's all oil. That was how it would appear. That's how it would react. If you pour it out, it wouldn't. If you pour out the water with the nut in it, it would pour, and then you get a big lump. But with the shemen and the yayin, it acts. They make room, they make adjustments for each other, and they become one entity. In terms of their behavior, they take on each other's characteristics and act as one. The only thing is that what? That there's something in each one that keeps them separate. Right? What did you say?
I mean,
they're distinct. I mean, they don't mix.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. They're still two distinct entities.
But their relationship is one where they each qualify the other, as opposed to.
But they
to
relate to each other in a mutual way.
Right.
It's an interesting kind of a question. It's an interesting kind of a question.
Do you say it goes by their identities as distinct from one another, or by the relationship between them?
Right. In other words, does chibur mean that each one loses its identity to a greater entity, right? But you can't say that about the shemen and the yayin, because they always maintain their own identities, right? Or do you say chibur means that the point of relationship has no distinction, right? It's harder to define that side, right?
The point of relationship has no distinction.
That was that line where they meet. Right, that line where they meet. You can't say that one is relating differently to the other. You can't say one is the object and the other is the place. They equally displace each other. And that's what I was trying to say with the nut. With the nut, there's only a displacement going one way. Only the mayim yields its form to the egos. The egos never yield its form to the mind. But the shemen and the yayin yield to each other. So in terms of their form, the chibor is mutual. They relate to each other in the same exact way. Whereas the egos and the mayim don't. What?
One's on top. One's on the bottom.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. You could mix them up. You could shake them. I mean, it just won't stay. You can do whatever you want, and they will mix up. I mean, anyone shakes a salad dressing, you know, you can do it temporarily. They will mix up, but they'll always maintain their. And when they mix up, they each form around each other. You can't say. So in other words, the way, that's what I'm trying to say over here, is the chibur in the way that they join, the mechanism that joins them, that if two things join to each other in the same way, that's a chibur? Or does chibur have to be that they create one greater entity? So mayim on mayim has both. Mayim on mayim has both. And even mayim and yayin, all those other things, like your dyes, they will form into one thing that you can't separate anymore. Right. But the Shemen and the Yayin, or the Shemen and the Mayim, although the Chibor is a perfect Chibor, it doesn't result in a new object. Yeah.
No, I was just realizing something.
Okay.
I remember sent for.
Right?
Did you touch the oil and the wine when it wasn't a state mixed up?
Yeah.
It would be considered one entity,
yeah,
and you would be
possible
all night.
Yeah.
No.
Because they're intrinsically, they never really become, since they're sofo lipare, they're going to separate. They never make a good. They never make a good. It's just like.
When you touch it, it's all mixed up. All
well, if you touch both, then they're nechanami. That's only because you're touching both. Right. But it wouldn't be because you're touching one greater entity. Right? You have that in halacha also like in Tarovas, like in Yoredeah. That if something is nicker in the Tarovas, so it's not batal. Right? In other words, in order to be batal in Bishishim, let's say, so it has to be one entity. So then you can say this one entity you can define the whole thing by the heter.
The food coloring could never be both of it.
Well, that's a separate question.
What?
Color is a separate question. But for instance, the case that the Ramah brings down a case, if you have a tafshil that has trey fat in it, right? Even though when it's hot, it's all mixed up, but since when it cools, all the fat is going to rise to the top. That's not considered a tarovus. It's not considered one tarovus. It's considered a separate entity. The fat always is considered a separate entity. And you're not going to have bittel b'shi. You're not going to have bittel. Because you don't consider it one entity. Since it never fully joins together, right, that's called nicker. Nicker is a prevention of them joining together. And we say nicker is even true if in another stage, in the later stage, there are qualities in each that cause them to separate. So you'd have to wait for it to cool down and remove the fat. And then if you had shishim, you'd be okay. But you can't just say, right, like you ever see, like a meat when it gets cold, it gets that hard, congealed fat. But when it's hot, you don't notice it. It's all mixed in. Or a chicken soup. Right, you get like a good thick layer on the top. But
so in the case we
so it'll be a similar kind of thing.
After you skim the fat off, and there's none left, you then say buckle the shit.
Right, but you can't say the oil as a substance is buckle in this pot.
Even though you're probably never going to be able to get all the fat, each time you cool, there probably be some.
Well, that's a question of Matthias, but.
You're saying that you look to the state of when it's cold to like reveal the
underlying state. No, if there's any point where it's going to be separable,
right.
Then it's been
as long as any point that like that is megala, like
that's true, right. That they're not a full chibur, not a full chibur.
Right. Not a full. That in one state they are.
Yeah, it doesn't help in one state they are, because that shows the type of thing they are.
Right.
They're not really joined. Okay, but now let's see if we can make any progress over here on Rava's tegel. Okay, so Rava had a difficult question. Difficult question. What's difficult about the question is how broad it seems. It seems like such a basic question that should encompass many, many cases, but it doesn't. You'll see from Tosus, it's really a limited question. But what's his question? His question is that what so we know that if you put the egos in the mayim, that's not considered munach, right? But let's say you put the egos in a kli, so that's good. The egos in the kli relate to each other in the proper way. The egos doesn't roll around on the kli; it stays in its spot. But the whole kli is floating in the water, right? So Rava says, what's the din? Do you go? And I'm going to ask you to tell me the pshat of here. What's the pshat? How do you read this? Bosar egos azlinon v'honayach. Okay, so that part I just said. That if you look at the egos, so then the egos is resting. Right? Because it's on the kli. O dilma bosar kli azlinon v'halonayach denayed. Okay, what are the pronouns over here?
The kli or the na.
Right. Or do you say, or maybe you'll say, we go bosar kli, we go after the kli. Now what's the vahalo nayach? What's not resting?
The egos
of the kli.
The kli.
Deny it.
Oh,
the only thing is deny
yeah,
it is
like that. Sounds like the kli.
Well, that we know. We know
that it's not resting.
You know, obviously,
the question is how do we look at the...
We know that. That's pshat.
The question is how do you look at the...
Right, yeah, don't
what's
deny
denied?
It, right? Yeah.
Moving.
Denied.
That it is moving.
That the cup is moving.
That the cup is
right.
moving.
But if it was just talking about the kli, we need
the
to deny it, right?
The egos is not at rest because the cup is moving.
That's a good shot, right? The ego is not at rest because the cup is moving. mm-hmm. Right?
Like Tosos with a hand.
Right. The ego is not at rest because the cup is moving.
What do we look at to define the egos? The egos itself or the kli? That's the question.
So do we look at the egos? So then how would you phrase it, right? What does it mean, boss or egos or boss or kli? So do you look at the egos?
To define the egos? Or
to
the
define...
Yeah,
what does it mean the first part then? And how does the first part make sense if it's moving?
Supposedly it's a kli to define the egos.
Which is the first one? Boss or egos as lean on?
No,
Hanayach, it's resting.
But the second part is saying, but it's moving. Because the kli is moving.
So do you look at the egos? What does it mean, look at the egos? You always have to look at two things.
So the egos is in the framework of the kli.
You always have to look at two things.
The egos in the kli.
So do you look at the egos' immediate place? Right? Do you look at the egos alone? No, of course not the egos alone. But meaning the egos... The maisa of the egos is done to the kli directly. Right? In terms of the egos, you place the egos down. In terms of the egos, you placed it down, and that was the kli is a good place to place things. Right? So if I look at the egos, that means I look only at the maisa I did to the egos. Right? And what did I do to the egos? I put it on a proper place for an egos, which is a kli. Okay, that's good. Or what? O dilmo bosor kli azlinan v'halo nayach denayed. Yeah, what does that mean? Or do I look at what?
The kli.
Or bosor kli azlinan. Do we go after the kli? Do we go after the kli, meaning what?
State of the place.
The kli relationship
with
the water.
State of the place. And we say... That you put the egos on a place that's not that's moving.
And the night is what?
The kli is moving. No? But what is the question? I mean, what exactly is the question? So it sounds like a general question. Whenever you have a receptacle that's moving, right? And you put something in that receptacle. General question, do we just look at the immediate framework of the object vis-a-vis the receptacle? Or do we have to look at the framework of the receptacle itself? Right? In other words, which framework do we go by? The framework of the kli relative to the framework of the egos is only relative to the kli. And it's at rest. Or do we look at the framework of the kli itself and we say the egos is still in motion? Right? But that's like a broad general question of how does halacha draw the line of framework? I mean, the whole earth is hurtling through space. Right? So we certainly don't look that far. right?
You have to make a new Brachah Rishon every 5 seconds, every second.
Because you're in a new place.
Yeah.
That's right.
Let's take a look at
Tosis. So Tosis tries to...
Big problem. Yachram Gelva from Suda. Yachram Gelva.
Is it really?
So Tosis tries to... Tosis sheds a little light on the question. Okay, let's see. Because the first part I just skipped is that there's another Gemara that says that the boat is considered not moving.
A boat.
It's on the water.
Even though it's on the water. So that's a different sugya. That's a sugya of kinyan. That if a chotzer is moving, it's not. You can't make a kinyan on a chotzer is moving. So the Gemara says the boat is not moving. The boat is staying in one place, and the water is moving it. Okay.
Right.
Huh?
What?
Whatever.
That's a different
so that's the thing. Saying you can't bring a raya from the case by Kenyan to what's considered moving or not, because that's a separate halacha by Kenyan. But we don't go by those rules. Here, everything is derived from the Mishkan. That's what he's saying. Of halacha mi Mishkan yalfina. It's not relevant the halachas of Mekach and Memkar to derive halachas from Shabbos. Because it's not like it's one question of what's moving and what's not moving. If it was one universal question of how does the Torah view relativity, what's the Torah's view on relativity, right? Then it would be one uniform question. Either the Torah ignores the situation of the framework, or it takes into account the framework of the framework, right? But that's not the question. That's not the question. There's no underlying principle in Torah about relativity. Right? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Each area has its own dinim. This area is based on the Mishkan. It's not based on tapping into any deep scientific truth over here. Right? Go ahead. Oh, who's reading? Avalhocha mi Mishkan yofina. Who wants to try? Any takers?
Go
ahead, Max.
Aval hakam yimishkan yafina. Misham lo haya mistama ala kederach she matznim chavetzim bnei adam.
Okay, so in other words, the Tosfos is saying like this, saying, where do we derive the halachos of Hotzah from the Mishkan? And therefore, it's all going to be based on the way that... the way in the framework of the Mishkan and those types of activities, how do people place things? Okay, the case in Bava Kama, in Bava Metzia was if a fish jumps on your boat and you corner the fish, right through your chatzah. So, but that has nothing to do with us. That has nothing to do with us. On Shabbos, we want to know, is this the malacha of Adam that we call putting something down? Okay, so that's going to be determined by the practice of man in the context as defined by the Mishkan. So, is it the derech of a person when he wants to be matznia something? That means to like put it aside for later, right? To store it. So when he wants to store his objects, how does he do it? And that's the definition of hanacha. If it's placed in the way that the person stores something, that is hanacha. It's not a physical description, right? It's a human activity. So what's the question? Go ahead. Boi egos b'kli.
Boi egos b'kli. B'kli tzach v'gali mayim. Im hu derech kach lehatsinia chafetzim olo.
So I mean, that's what I was saying yesterday. Tosis is saying it's like a Metzias question. It's hard to understand what Tosis what is the bite? Tosis is saying everything goes by the way people relate to objects and the way they put things away. And Rava's question is, how do people do these things? Do people put egozim on kalim in Mayim or not?
So why isn't it just a question of what they did in the Mishkan?
Well, apparently they didn't do this in the Mishkan, but we derive from the Mishkan the principle of derech hatzna, derech matznia. We say what did they do? They were matznia. anything that's considered matzniya, you're chayav for. So now it comes down, do people, are people matzniya, egozim and kelim amayim? But that's not what the Gemara sounds like he's saying. I mean, why isn't Rava say that? Do people put things in Kalim on Mayim? I don't know. Take him. But right? I mean, but the Gemara itself doesn't express this type of a question that Tosis is saying.
Whether it's there or not, you still have this question.
Right.
You still have whether you go after the clear or the not.
It's not like Tosis. It's not like Rava is saying how. I don't know how people do it. Do people do this or not? He sounds like a halachic, like more like a halachic question. Do we look at just the cup, or do we look at the mayim too?
Also, what's the take of it? Could have just gone and see if people do it.
Right. It's a difficult thing, but Tosis is really forced into this. Tosis is forced into this pshat. Why? Go ahead. Okay, because it definitely is not really munach. There's no question that it's not really munach. Why is it not really munach?
Rechov kimahalach tamim.
Rechov kimahalach tamim. If someone is riding, it's like they're walking. It's like they're going. So what does that mean? That means to say that if a guy is on a horse or on a whatever and it's moving, you don't say he's not moving because he's just sitting on his horse. Right? So no, we say on the contrary, he's moving. You don't say, well, he's not really moving, he's just sitting on the horse.
No, it's not analogous.
What's that?
It's not analogous to this.
It is. It's perfectly analogous. But it shows you that there's no rule. It shows you it's not that there's no idea in halacha that we just ignore the object and its immediate surroundings. You look at the general surroundings.
What's an option there? Like if someone places something on that guy who's writing?
Right.
So you won't be fired for on
that. I think that Gemara is talking about something else completely. But
on the Shabbos case?
I don't think so. But
so then how can you do that? I thought his whole point was you have to look at every area on the ground. You can't just look at Mecca from Empire in other cases. I mean,
yeah, where is that case? I'm not sure where is that case. Doesn't say where that case is. You're right. It's a good question. I'm not sure where that case is. But he's saying that's what we hold. We hold that riding is like Mahalik. I guess you're right. It must be Rosh Chavez. Go ahead. Ubreish Perak Basra.
Ubreish Perak Basra. Mashmanami. Yimnosin al Adam kishihu mehalach.
Right, so in other words, over there, you also have a case that if someone is walking and you put something on him while he's walking, that's not considered to be meniach the object. Even though it's resting on him, so relative to him, it's not moving, right? The guy who puts it on him is not considered to have done hanocha. Right? Why? Because we don't say there's no question. That's not a teku. That's not Rava doesn't have a question over there that leads off in the teku, right? Even though the phenomenon, the physical, what Tos is trying to show you is that there are other cases in Shas and Shabbos that have the same physical description and don't have this question, right? So you see, it's not a question about how Torah views the relativity issue, because. Because in other areas, it's clear that it's not kemunach. So why is Rav have a question over here?
But it's a little bit different because that case is just Tosa saying you ignore the immediate framework and you look to the fact that he's moving relative to the ground. But here, by the case of the water, it's that the environment itself is a moving environment.
No, the kli is not. The egos is on the kli. That's like putting something on a guy's shoulder. And the egg and the kli is floating in the water. That's like the guy moving, right?
But they come about because it's two different things. One comes about because you're looking at the. I mean,
but if I just look at the object and what it's on, and I say as long as the object has a fixed relationship to what it's on, that's not moving, then the object's not moving, then it'd be the same exact case as the ego's on the kli and putting something on somebody who's moving.
Either way, it shows you that you don't ignore the creative framework. Yeah.
That's right. It's trying to show you this is not a general question of defining motion in Torah. It's a very specific, detailed question. Okay, go ahead. He has another case the opposite way.
He's finishing this case. The kamar minich alei keshu mehaleches, but not omeno keshu omedes.
Right. He takes out ink, right? Like two osios. That's the shiur of hotzah and ink. And he writes them on a piece of paper while he's walking.
Chayev k'sivasam. Chayev.
Right. So why is he chayev?
K'sivasam
zuhi hanachasam. So you see, the Gemara there says that writing them is considered putting them down, right?
So he's really chayav skil twice in that case?
Yeah. He's chayav skil twice.
Really big
though.
Did
you speak about this before?
Yeah.
Why is he chayav skil twice?
Well... Okay, so...
Back life, kill him again.
So... We're going to talk about that. So...
Really?
Same Achronim you're talking about.
Mashma.
So it's an interesting thing, just a side point. Rabbeinu Hananel over there asked, what about Makom Dalal Dalad?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
The paper is not. Should it qualify here?
Yeah. Now, what about Makom Dalal Dalad?
Big piece of paper?
Seems to be similar to like what the Rambam saying about.
Right,
the hand,
so the same thing like
the
Yad.
Right.
So the same thing like Yad.
This is where these things are.
This
Murach.
Is where the thing is. Dalal is not a halacha moshe b'siyai. It means it has to be munach fully. So just like a yad can qualify as dalal, the paper will certainly qualify as dalal.
So if you hand someone the ink,
depends if he's moving or not. Okay, go ahead. But he's saying it's mashma
dafka
kosvan
shehanichan b'makom.
So it's mashma from that Gemara that when you chayev hotzah on the ink, when you're walking, it's only because you wrote them on the paper while you were walking. Right? And that's where they're going to remain forever. But it's mashma from the Gemara that if I'm motzi a shear of dio, if I'm motzi dio, which is a shear of two osios, and I'm walking, and while I'm walking, I pour it into another cup, I'm not chayev. So you see clearly again, that he's proving it from the implication. He's trying to show you another case from the implication that we definitely say that we don't say that the dio is in the cup, right? We say no, the whole thing is moving. So what's the question over here? That's why he has to say, you can't say Rava is asking a general question about how we view rest and motion. It must be a very specific question if people do things like this. And if they do, it doesn't matter that it's moving. Because it's not a din of moving, it's a din of matzniyah. That's why the ksiva on the paper is chayev. Even though the ink is still moving, because the whole paper is moving, right? But that is in its place. So you must say, so Tosa says, you must say the question over here is the nut considered in its place? But what does the Gemara mean? Basar, what does the Gemara mean? Basar egos is lina, basar kli is lina. And why over here do you have the question? Why don't you have the question when he's pouring it on from kli to kli? Why is it not a teku too? So why don't people put egos in mamayim?
So they'll float away.
Because they'll float away.
Not if it's in a cup.
There's a couple.
Yeah. It's a
bowl. So, okay, so people put things... So who cares?
You got me.
So who cares if they'll float away?
the guy with the nut.
That's not a storage. So part of putting something away is what? Is keeping it there.
You're securing the object.
Securing the object, or as I like to say, access. Part of putting something away is having access to it in the future. Right? And that means that it's the same place that you put it, you can come back to it. So, it's not that it's not a makom, like we said before. It is a makom. But it's not a makom of storage, not a very good storage system when the thing moves from the place you put it. Right? When the thing moves from the place you put it. So what's the difference if you put it on a what's the difference if you put it on a floating platform? I mean, it's still not going to be there when you come back. The whole platform is gone. It's difficult. I mean, it's a difficult question.
Well, it's still going to be on the platform.
I don't.
You know that.
Yeah, rest assured.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
No.
Yeah. And why isn't it the same question with the ink? And then when the guy is walking. And what does the Gemara mean? Boss of this, boss of that. I mean, it's just a big problem.
What do you mean, why isn't it the same question with ink?
Why isn't it the same thing? The ink is in the cup. Okay. It's not moving from the cup. So who cares if the cup is moving?
It should be the same exact question.
Same take. What is the Rambam? Do you have the Rambam on this? How does the Rambam put this case there?
Doesn't have a take.
He says Potter. So I just want to see how he defines the case.
He decides to take it?
No, but Pata means he's not going to be Chayav HaChatas. Since the Sof, he can't be Chayav HaChatas.
Is that the case with every Tegu?
Yep, every Tegu in Shabbos. Every Tegu is like that.
What was that?
If you do every
Tegu, every Tegu is Pata. Because
it's Sof. Perek Gimel, Halacha Dalet. He says like this. Hoya omid ba'achas mishtei rishios uposha yadol rishos shniya v'natol misham mayim yagabi guma malaya mayim. So you take out some water from a full pit of water. V'otzion chayev shem mayim kulon ki'ilu hein munachem al aretz. Right? The chibor. They're all resting on the water. You can't break it up into pieces. This piece is resting on this piece. Olim hoya kli tzof al gabi mayim uperos besocha kli uposhat yodol lokach min haperos v'hotzi potter. Certainly the kli. Why shere lo nochu haperos al gabi ha'oretz? V'nimtza shelo okar mi al gabi mokom arba. Interesting way to Rambam puts it. Vein zorch lomer ma peros tzofen al pnei amayim shotziya en shu pata. V'chinim hoya shemen tzof al pnei amayim v'kolat min ha-shemen v'hotzi v'hotziyo pata. Yeah. Huh? The shemen. No, because pata means not going to be chayv achatas. Pata means not chayv
achatas. Oh, it's definitely asking me to. Because since we don't know, we've got to
look for it. Right. It's definitely asking to do. Stuff like the rice is also awesome, but you're not, you don't bring a cup. Right.
Why don't you bring a chatas? That's also the
rice. You can't bring a chatas specific. Yeah. So I mean, so what do you say here? Derech HaMatznia. Imu Derech Kach Latznia. That's what he says. That's the question. Olo. Afogav Devadai Lav Kimunach Tomi.
Even if it is the derech, then...
No, that is the question. Is this the derech? That's what I was saying. That's Rava's question. Is this the derech matznian? No, he's saying it's not a question. Tosis, the whole point of Tosis is to say it's not a question of is the thing considered moving or not. Definitely is considered moving. But that's not the issue. Mm-hmm. The issue is, are you matznia? Because Shabbos goes by derech hatzno. Derech matznia. What? That is the malacha.
That'll make up for the lack of it being munach. In reality, it's not munach, but if it's matzniyah, then it is like it is.
No, on Shabbos, when we say munach, we mean it's...
Right.
Like,
that's what munach is. Munach and Shabbos is not a question of moving. It's a question of is it in its right, is it in its place. Yeah. Give me 1 minute. See, I mean, just to help, just to make a little bit of progress over here, the question of Rava is only by a guma. It's only by a guma. Shri doesn't say that. But,
On the ocean, there would definitely be putter.
Of course, there would be the front there.
That's what I would say. That's certainly not Derech Matznian. Certainly not Derech Matznian. It means to say the access is generally here. It's isolated to a specific location. Right? It is isolated to a specific location. But if I would put it directly on the Mayim, that lacks as a Maiso Hanocha. Because now you look at the object to the Mayim. But his question is, if I can I make up for the fact that it's on Mayim, right, technically that it's on Mayim, by doing a normal Maiso Hanocha? You understand what I'm trying to say? Now, is there's two problems here. No, well, let me tell you this. There's one problem, really. The problem is that Mayim, in general, is not a place of Hanukkah. That's a universal halacha. That's universal. It doesn't matter how small the area of the Mayim is. Mayim is definitely not a derech of a matzniyah. Okay, so no matter the circumstances of the Mayim, Mayim is mufka from a Maisa Hanocha. Because that's not a derech of a matzniyah to put something on a surface that doesn't retain its own form. Okay, that lacks intrinsically in the Maisa Hanocha. Putting something on a solid form, on a solid substance, is a Hanocha. Because it stays in the same relative to the same place, right? So Rava's question is like this: if I have a guma, if I have a small body of mayim, that really I'm going to maintain my access to, right? It's not like the ocean. It's not like I'm stranded on an island and I throw a bottle into the, put a note in the bottle and I throw it in the water. There's no shaila that you're not, you're definitely not chayiv. Right? Because you don't want access to that anymore. But if it's a type of a body of mayim that is not mufka from storage, but it's lacking something in the maisa hanocha, You understand? The maisa hanacha to the mayim is what is preventing you from doing a hanacha. Not the quality of the place of the water. So can you make up for the lack in the maisa by doing it to a solid surface? You know what I mean? Can I take two things and join them together? Can I say like this, what's the problem of putting my egos in this little puddle? Let's say I have a little puddle. I have a tiny pond in my backyard. 1 foot by 1 foot. Right? A 1 foot diameter. It's certainly not going to go far from where I put it. It's not like if I put it here, it's going to be lost. It's not like I'm putting it down the Mississippi. Right? So when I come back, it'll be here, and I know exactly where it'll be. Okay? The only thing is, that's mufka from a maisa of hanocha, because it's not the proper surface to do a hanocha on. Universally, in a universal sense, a liquid is excluded from a maisa hanocha. It would be like I'm putting it hovering in the air over this guma. Technically, we can't go case by case. We have to have klolim. So that's a klal. That on mayim is not a maisa hanocha. All right, indulge me for a minute, Levi. But now the question is, but in terms of the idea, it really is in the place where you wanted it. It really is mutzna. So Rava's question is, can I make up for the lack in the maisa by putting it on a kli in the mayim? Can I now say that in general it's where I want it to be, because the kli is not going to go far from here, and it's not lacking the technical problem of a maiso hanocha on a liquid, right? Or do I say nope? Since sof kol sof the whole thing is in mayim, and mayim is mufka from a hanocha. I it won't help me that I'm putting it on a kli. Or do I say, nope, the only problem with the mayim is the maisa, is the technical maisa. But if I can put it on a kli, I avoid the technical maisa. Okay? Now just is that confusing? If it's confusing, then it's a good teiku. So you can take it, you don't have to be... but seriously.
That's not true, is it?
Okay. Curious, but if your mind can go each way and say, right. Well, which way? Yeah.
The idea of when you put an object directly on top of water.
Right.
Are you saying it's not munach because it lacks technically in being in a state of rest because the environment's unstable? Or that's just because since it's unstable, a person wouldn't do...
I'm saying when you go when you do the hanocha on the mayim, you definitely only view the egos in the mayim, and it doesn't matter anymore how big or small the mayim is. And I'd say that is not munach in the place that I put it. Doesn't matter that the place that it could go is small, but that is part of the technical maisa of hanocha, that it's in the places I put it.
Because
it's definitely the derech matzniya in general for it to be in the places I put it.
That you do have.
No. Technically, it's not in the places I put it.
I'm saying you do have the idea of matzniya.
You do have the idea of the matzniya, but technically you don't have it.
But what don't you technically have?
You don't have a hanocha. You don't have the hamaisa hanocha of a matzniya.
But that all the primary thing is because it's just technically not at rest, and that's what matzniya requires, right?
That's right. Okay. So now, if I put it on a kli in the mayim, right? So now, can I say that in terms of the idea, I've accomplished it? The only thing is, directly on the mayim, it lacks in the technical maisa of matzniya. It lacks in a definition, definitively. Now, since we start in the Torah, since we start from Mishkan, and we extrapolate from a Maisa of Matzniya, we define based on that the technical Tzura of a Matzniya. And at a minimum, the Maisa requires all Maisa, the Maisa requires that it is where you put it.
Which is technically lacking in the Guma, you're saying.
Which is technically lacking in the Mayim. No matter how small the Mayim, the body of Mayim is.
Even though in concept there would be difference, there would be difference.
Even though conceptually it would be, even though conceptually the range of motion is so small that it's not going to matter, right? So now can I? But you can't escape the technical problem of not putting it in a place of permanence, in the Maisa itself. So that's his question. If I put it on a platform. So now can I combine, but the whole platform is floating in the water, so can I say now that in general it's where I want it to be? And in terms of the particular tzura, you just look at the kli. In other words, when Tosis is saying, when I'm pouring the dio from one cup to the other, to the next, right? Since I'm totally in motion, the whole idea of matzniya doesn't exist. In other words, when Tosa says that in those other cases of matzniya, in those other cases, there's no concept of matzniya because I'm just in a free range of motion. There's no area, there's no limited space that I can confine this object to at all. In my motion, I can go for another 100 miles. Right? So that doesn't even have the idea of matzniya.
Here it does.
But here it does. Because you have to accept this one who kimta that I'm making. That is talking about a small body of water. Because Rava just wants to know if it's possible. Right? He wants to know if it's possible. But I would say if it's on the Yam, it wouldn't even be a question of Rava. Rava wouldn't have that question at all. But, the Yam, the Yam is not a Rishuz Rav or Rishuz Yachid. Right? I mean, by definition, it has to be in a Rishus Rav or Rishus Yachid. But,
what is the Yam?
It's Kamalus. The whole problem, how do you have a body of water that's a Rishus Rav? Because people don't walk through water. So by definition...
was one Jew.
So that depends. It has to be very small, and it has to be a certain time of the year, whatever it is. But the whole question, the interesting question is if you have a river going through your property, right, can you fence it off and make that river like part of your shus? But anyway...
So you're saying here the idea of...
but here, since it's a Rishus HaYachid, certainly this case, is he's putting his hand into his friend's chotzer. So the body of water has to be isolated and limited. So it would partake of matzniya. But technically, that bothers you—the technical problem.
No, I'm just confused between the way that you are distinguishing between like a general concept of, in terms of the guy's objective of matzniya, and then that there always has to be have a foothold in like a more primary technical ma'isa of muna. Right. That's why when the guy's walking, you don't even talk about matzniya because it's in motion, right? It's not muna.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when the guy is in motion, he doesn't partake of the general idea of matzniya.
Right, because it's lacking the most basic thing, that it's not, it doesn't even have the technical...
It doesn't have any... No! No! On the contrary, because it's not in any place, in any limited place at all. The guy is walking. How can you say the object is in some limited place, that it's going to be there when I come back? It's totally irrelevant. It's totally... It was by the puddle... There's a very small, limited range of motion that this thing could be in. And I know, I'll go back to the puddle, it'll be there. Right? But when I put it on, if you're walking and I put something on you, right, there's no guarantee of any place that it's going to be when I come back. It needs to be the ground.
Because
you have an unlimited range of motion.
Are you saying for
the... So that's not the concept of a matzniya. In other words, I'm saying conceptually a matzniya could say... I don't mind if it's floating around in this little pond. I know where it is. But where is it if I put it on you? I don't want to know. So, right?
Are you saying there's two requirements for matzniya? There's a general concept that you're saying, right?
Yes.
A general concept of matzniya, and then there's a technical requirement.
Exactly.
And it has to be...
That was Rava's question.
Of course, here, can you compensate for the technical lack by doing a valid matzniya?
That's right.
Enough.
That's right.
It's like a weird formulation.
Even that,
yeah, what's the lesson of the Gemara?
That's in terms of the Maisa. The question of the Gemara is the Maisa. Is the Maisa considered a technically good Maisa Anacha or not? That's what it's going to come down to.
Is it going to be considered a good...
No, when Tosfos says, this is an important point, when Tosfos says it's definitely mahalech, right, that means to say it's not literally at rest. Okay? Normally, if it's not literally at rest, that's the end of the question. Okay? It's not really at rest. Because then it has no, it doesn't partake of putting it in any place. Right? Here, it does have a range. Here, in terms of putting it where you want it to be in general, that's where it is. It does have that idea. It's like if I put something in my closet. Do I care if it's in this part of the closet or that part of the closet? Let's say there's a possibility it could roll to the side to that side. I don't care. I know it's in this closet. That's good enough. Right? In terms of the idea of a matzniyah. But the question is, when somebody is moving, when something is moving and I'm putting it on it, right, can I at least say I have a technical maisa of a hanava? It's true, normally the whole idea of being munach doesn't apply. Because the most basic meleches machsheves of hanocha is gone. Right? So it's an irrelevant question normally. Normally it's an irrelevant question. But here it's a relevant question. Because here, the meleches machsheves of hanocha does exist. Because it's in a limited place. And that would qualify as my storing it away. The only thing is, because it's moving, I can't do the maisa of hanocha. So can I borrow, can I now take a maisa hanocha, can I piggyback on the kli for a maisa hanocha? Or do I say no, since the kli itself is moving, that's not even called a maisa hanocha. That was when a thing is moving, if you want to rephrase the question, you could rephrase it in another way. Take the regular case. Let's take a case where the guy is holding two cups, one filled with ink and one empty. And he's running, and he pours one to the other. What is he lacking? He certainly is lacking the idea of anacha. But does he not even have a technical maisa of anacha? That's going to be a nafkamina here. If I say that all he's lacking, if I say he really did a maisa anacha, the only thing is, the whole thing is irrelevant because you did a maisa anacha to something that's mufka from the idea of hanacha, of hatzna, of matzniyah. So then over here I would say, oh, but here it is in the realm of matzniyah. But if I'd say no, when the guy pours it, it's like he's not doing any maisa anacha at all because the whole kli is in motion. So then over here, it would also be no good. Difficult question. Something to think about.